Hi folks, welcome back to the Indie Artist Q&A series. Today we were talking to an artist called Score. He's from Hungary, his name is Zoltán, and he's doing a sort of piano, electronic, instrumental stuff. Sounds really cool, he's really interesting, so let's get into it, see what he's got to say. Welcome to the New Music Review Q&A series that we're running with a few artists that we've picked up off various social media platforms. If you want to tell us who you are, what you do, where you're based, that sort of thing.
Yeah, welcome everyone checking this out. Zoltán Adamek, I'm from Vác, Hungary. I'm practically a somewhat novice music producer who's just getting started. And so far I have released two tracks the last couple of months. And talking about my day job, I'm full stack engineer at some software engineering company. So that's what I do. I normally have this dual approach of varying fairly technical and also into music making. I was kind of like always working with some sort of music. I've been studying piano, and then I was getting into DJing and then music production and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's one angle that I can give. And from one perspective, that what I would like to highlight is normally I'm a guy who loves sharing what he learns in different ways. And that's also professionally, I spend a lot of time with trying to help engineers to share their knowledge.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to have a very similar approach in music making and music production.
Sure.
For example, a couple of years ago, I was involved in the Hungarian Ableton Live community, and we were doing some meetups, and sometime I gave like introductory talks and those kind of stuff. So that's like on a really high overview level.
Sure, yeah. And what are you? You're obviously a solo artist, or do you operate? Do you collaborate with other people?
I'm solo.
And you write and record all your own stuff at home?
Yes, mostly. Yeah. Mostly.
You play the instruments. I see you got a keyboard in the background there. Do you play?
Yeah. So I was trained in classical piano for 10 years. So okay. I'm very much a keyboard-based person. So from keyboard, acoustic piano, and all sorts of synthesizers, that's my main thing. I was very heavily influenced towards electronic music, but in electronic music, kind of like all sorts of different kind of electronic music.
Yeah.
So that's what this is about. For the first track that I released, it was actually one of my dreams to, like, for the first time in my life, like, have a proper piano studio recording.
Yeah.
But that was, in that sense, somewhat unusual that I got to work with a proper audio engineer recording me playing on a Stanway and have that happening.
Yeah.
That was extremely special.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so your genre is primarily electronic?
Yes. In general, I have a really hard time trying to sort of label and categorize my stuff.
Yeah.
Because even if you try to dig deeper into the different kinds of electronic music, I have interest in a lot of overlapping things.
Yeah.
So just to talk about like a bit of plans and stuff like that, I have some stuff which is mostly categorized as some sort of an ambient music.
Mm-hmm.
I have some stuff coming up which is probably tilting more towards like trance vibes, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I also have some crack drafts, which I think we'll get to being a deep house sort of a selection too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm really mixing all this up.
Sure, cool. And what are you doing in form of sort of social media sites? What are you using mostly? What are you doing, any promotion or paid promotion? And what are you using for that, if you're doing any of that sort of thing?
As I said, I'm at the very start of this journey. Like I was dabbling with music production for a lot of years, but I think this is the year when I first got to take it really seriously, in the sense of actively looking for opportunities to promote my music and just, you know, where I make my music heard properly.
Mm.
And I managed to finally get to the point where I think I can actually produce some tracks which I can heartfully recommend to people to listen to.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out this kind of a thing. I'm trying to experiment with a lot of different things all the time.
Hmm.
Now, one of the things which I was really struggling with is was trying to find a way to communicate which also fits my personality and my energy level, so to speak. And because of that, I realized that right now, in the last couple of weeks, I feel like Dreads is the one which feels the closest to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out what I can do to extend that further. I'm just starting to play around with YouTube Shorts and whatnot, just to figure out how this can be pushed further.
Yeah.
But the main problem is, like, for any video-based format, it's like a huge amount of extra work, which I'm very willing to do. I'm perfectly okay with finding some time to mess with DaVinci Resolve or whatever, but it also it's a distraction, sort of.
For sure. I mean, I get the same just doing what I'm doing now. You know, I have to get to grips with DaVinci or whatever and work out how to edit all these things down and try and get it. It's difficult and it's a lot of time sort of outside what you really want to be doing, you know. I mean, I'd like to do one of these sort of videos, you know, every few days or every few nights and do loads of artists, but the time to actually put it all together into a finished product, for me at least, you know, I mean, I could hire an editor or something and pay someone to do it and it would look great, but because it's all cost, isn't it, and nobody wants to start spending any more money, I guess that's the issue. So
yeah,
I mean, I found Threads, since I've been on there, it does seem very music focused. I think the algorithm seems to favour, if you read and write music-related content, it tends to stick generally to that in your feed. You know, not unlike Twitter or Facebook, you can just get all sorts of junk coming from every angle, even though you're not interested in it, you know. So,
yeah,
I think if you work on that, it's like all of the forums, really, the more you engage with people and comment on their posts and interact, the more they will start to engage with you as well, you know, and look at what you're doing as well, you know. If somebody comments on my post a few times and I see them commenting or liking the stuff every time I post, I'm much more likely to go and see what they're all about.
Indeed. And, you know, I was testing a lot of different kind of things. Mm. Like, I was doing some promotions for my first track on Groover and Summit Hub and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the main takeaway was that the amount of money and energy I invested into trying to make that happen, if I would only focus on actually building up some human connections with each other, I'm much better off in the end. Like, I spent quite an amount of money on trying to get my first track going on Groover. It actually had some decent enough results. Like, it got into a pretty nice YouTube mix video, for example, which got tons of views. That's very nice. But ultimately, I didn't feel, even with that, I didn't feel I'm getting back the value that I originally wanted to. And that actually raised some questions about that entire playlisting game of sorts.
Yeah.
So I would rather not do that right now. That feels like a waste of my energy. So
yeah, I mean, it's not, it's on my website and that I do some work for Groover, but I tend to only offer blog postings because I think an artist can always use a blog post as a little, you know, to post it on their website and as a bit of an advert for themselves, if you like, rather than playlisting or something like that. I mean, my playlists are small anyway. Some people are quite happy to go on any playlist, but playlisting is becoming less and less of a thing for me offering to artists. I'd rather say, look, send me all your stuff and I'll stick a blog post on for you and then I'll share that around all the social platforms. And that tends to get a bit more. And I know from the statistics of the website that people are there, people are looking, people are scrolling, they're clicking on posts. So I know somebody's looking at it at least, which is, you know, half the battle of why I do it, really. But talking of which, would you prefer to be, you know, doing an interview like this, or would you prefer to be on a blog or a playlist? Or, you know, what's your preferred medium for sort of getting exposure for yourself?
Hard to answer, really. Like, I'm fairly comfortable with like text-based medium. I personally, I used to run a blog for a significant amount of time, and I still tend to do that. Still tend to write articles every now and then. Mm. So I'm kind of comfortable with that. But I would say that if it's possible and if I can muster the energy to do so, I would shoot for the like the highest intensity. A kind of a connection that I can master, which is this right
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Us discussing. So I'm perfectly fine with those kind of discussions. The main thing is that I know that for many times, this is probably the hardest to get together and get it right, I guess. So
yeah,
that's the difficulty.
Yeah, people don't sort of underestimate a little bit how we've arranged this, what, two or three times now before we actually got to do it. And it does take, especially when you're in different time zones, it does take a little bit of time to get organised and for everyone to fit in, you know. So it's quite a thing, really. But I feel that you learn so much more about the person in 10 or 15 minutes talking directly like this than you do from hundreds and hundreds of posts or texts, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
You get to know what they're all about and that sort of thing. Do you have a YouTube channel at the moment?
Yes, very minimal one, mostly by claiming my audio tracks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I actually just put on the first short today, okay. So testing things out. So very, very basic setup that I'm currently having. I'm going to keep on checking whether I can do that, but looking at what is happening around Spotify and all the different platforms, currently my assumption is that I am probably the best off if I would focus some of my energies towards YouTube. To be honest, I don't really feel good about publishing any Spotify links for people or doing any of that because it somewhat irritates me knowing some of the technicalities and just overall how that business works. I don't want to openly support that happening.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think what I like about the YouTube idea is that it's there and it's there forever, really, as far as we know, for anyone to find. Whereas things like playlists seem to be a bit more at the mercy of a trend or something like that. You know, someone can decide, oh yeah, that's a good vibe of music for this trend. Will you promote the playlist? Whereas YouTube, I'm not sure really about the algorithm, how it works. I've had recently an unusual sort of boost in my YouTube views and subscribers. Not lots, you know, I'm talking maybe an extra 10 subscribers or an extra 200 or 300 views. And I don't know why. That's what concerns you. You know, these things happen. It's great if you can understand why. But when you don't know why, you just think, well, how can I do more of that if I don't know what it was that I did? You know, it's the same with everything.
Yeah. But, you know, just trying to pull my experience from my engineering career, in many of the cases, even when you are running like a really big like software company, there are very often you don't have actual way to know what was exactly happening. You can have theories, you can start to experiment, try to figure out how you can control that. But ultimately, there's a lot outside your control that you just need to somehow work with regardless and generally hope for the best.
Well, yeah. I think that's how a lot of it works. Just, I was looking at your keyboard again there in the background. So what are you doing in the way of equipment, your DAW, your PC or Mac? What are you using?
Just talking about some of the hardware that I'm using. My master keyboard is a Studio Logic old, very old, you know, somewhat custom setup. I was always looking for good enough ways to have a decent enough digital piano setup at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually running Piano Tech with this, you know,
okay. Somewhat
weird setup. I have a Raspberry Pi, which is always on, and it's running Piano Tech there, which is practically my ideal generation thing. It's always recording whatever I'm playing at any given time in MIDI, so that's very useful. I have this R2A Mini Freak. This is my little hardware love, in the sense that It's one of the most convenient synthesizers. It's kind of a hybrid setup that I have this hardware, and it has the VSTi counterpart, and it can sync themselves together. Very convenient, very fun to use, even when you're sitting in a couch and just sound designing some weird stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of fun to use. And I have a few group boxes, an Electron model samples one, a smaller Volca sample one from Korg. Actually, in the video that I published today, I'm using mostly those three with the Mini Freak together for a practically dull-less gem.
Yeah,
I have the old Behringer DJ mixer, which is pulling together all the things, so I can kind of do a semi-live setup here. I have a PC running macOS. That's my daily driver setup. I'm running a Hackintosh setup here.
So a lot of people will use a Mac with Windows, but you're using a PC with macOS on it.
The macOS one is my daily driver since practically forever by now. And I specifically built this computer in the specs to be able to run macOS on it.
Yeah.
It actually took a fair amount of research and configuration to get it right, but it's a workhorse that I like.
Yeah. And what... DAW, are you running all this into?
I'm an Ableton guy, basically.
Ableton, so Do you know, I think the last three people I've spoke to have all been Ableton.
I think a lot of people could have very different reasons why they do so. I try to be not a fanatic about anything. And I actually test a lot of different things. I've been messing with Reason and Logic and Studio One and whatever you can have. But I'm keep going back to Ableton Live, and I do think that for my personal perspective of how I work with, that is probably the closest to how I usually think. I've gotten fairly comfortable and fast working with it, and with the recent changes in it, I feel more comfortable than ever. So,
being a solo artist, something I've asked other people is, do you feel in any way that you are restricting your range or your vision of the completed song? Or do you think any collaboration or another band member, let's say, might add something to what you're doing? Or do you feel confident that doing it all on your own is adequate and you're getting the best out of it?
Well, look, it's not exactly like because I love doing this, but this is the configuration that I can be productive in right now. So I would definitely not rule out collaborating. And for me, the interview music stuff is about trying to connect to people, and not utilizing other musicians is that would be as dumb as it gets. I would certainly love, and I would, for example, certainly love to incorporate some actual acoustic instruments in my music more often. But once you start to do that, obviously it's getting much more complicated than just producing a track in the DAW and calling it a day.
It is. So I've done a few collaborations in the past, and I've found there's a number of ways to do it. Some people will just do their parts, send it, and let you do whatever you want with it, you know, and just say, yeah, I've done it, do what you want, use it, don't use it, edit it, whatever. In other instances, we've set up a sort of a Google Drive thing or something like that, or Dropbox, and we've said, okay, just throw a few ideas in there and just pick out whatever you feel you might want to use or don't use. So, you know, it can be good. I think the problem sometimes with collaborations, especially if they're just a bit loose, is that they never get finished. You know, people can just, oh, yeah, I'll do it next week. And it never gets done. Yeah. And I've done that myself. I've fell of that myself. And now if I do take on any sort of collaboration, I try and put a timeline on it and say, well, look, let's do it by then. If we can't do it by then, we'll move on, and nobody's fussed, because otherwise it never gets finished. So, and what about mixing and mastering? Are you doing all that yourself? Are you mixing everything, producing it yourself?
Here is one of the significant changes which happened in my music last year. I was attending a music production school here in Hungary, like a really in-person one going on for months. Mm-hmm. And I felt that was one of the best investments into myself in the last couple of years. And that actually had some training for us for mixing and mastering.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel somewhat okay with mixing my stuff. I do realize that probably my mixes could take a lot of practice, and I will continue to improve on that. Personally, I find that really interesting and satisfying to get it right. So I will likely get into that.
Mm.
On the mastering one, I'm really thinking about trying to utilize all the professionals out there who are looking for work. For my first work, I was actually sending it out to a mastering engineer in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sounds amazing. I'm absolutely certain I wouldn't be able to get the same result sound. And fortunately enough, because of my day job, I can actually afford to get involved with professionals in this way. So I think it's actually much better to build connections in this way and get the results out.
Yeah, I suggest to a lot of people who don't use mastering engineers and don't want to use mix engineers, and sometimes you can just tell listening to their music, you think, you know what, it sounds okay, but I'm pretty sure it could sound quite better if you just let someone have a little go at it. And you don't always find the right people first time round. Sometimes you can go through two or three mix engineers till you find someone who's in, you know, aligned with your way of thinking. Mastering's a little bit different. It can work. Sometimes it doesn't always work. But I'd always suggest to people, just at least once, send a song off to get mastered and just try it and just see what you get back. If you don't like it or it doesn't work for you, don't do it again. But I think you might be missing out by not having at least trying it.
I know from experience that in my current life situation, probably I won't be able to put enough miles into my mixing practice to get it to the level what it would deserve. So I do need to actually get involved with more people about like getting feedback about my mixes. And I try to do that as often as I can. And I actually really would like to get to the point where I would be like co-piloting a mixing engineer doing some magic on the track he's working on, just to see how that really goes. That's definitely a thing, but that's one thing that I try to keep in mind, that in music production we tend to fall into this realm of like you have to do everything and anything together, and I try to just draw some lines about like, okay, from this point on, I'm not getting concerned. There are much better people for this. That's how I try to approach this.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's worth, like I say, at least trying it out. And some people, once you've got the right collaboration with somebody, they can really understand what you like and they can make a lot of difference to your mixes, I think.
And also, not just that, but because of the extended levels of experience talking with clients and others, they have much better tools to actually articulate what are the problems that I could ever get.
Well,
at least with this amount of practice.
Yeah. And I was talking to someone recently about this, and it's kind of almost they've got a set of instruments and sound sources, whatever they've got to hand, that they know can do something for your track almost immediately. Whether you like it ultimately or not might not be the case, but they hear a track and they'll have a set of stuff that they can go, okay, I'm going to put this pad underneath there, I'm going to put that little sound effect in there, I'm going to put this riser in here, and instantly they add all these little bits in and it just brings some stuff to life. You might not like all of it at the end of the day and have some of it taken out, but I think they've just got, like you say, they've got an immediate go-to set of stuff, much quicker than you might have to hand.
Exactly, exactly.
And it makes a lot of difference, I think.
Still, talking all about that, I do think that, like, and this is, again, very close to my approach in, like, professional life. Like, in my day job, I work in a very cross-functional team with all other disciplines together. And for us, it's really an interesting point in trying to learn about like why do others think in the specific way they do. So from this angle, I find it really beneficial to do learn about mixing, do learn a bit about mastering, just so you actually have a chance to interact with that person who's doing that part of the things.
Yeah.
Just so you have a chance for building up some common understanding. And in this, I found that obviously, like as a somewhat novice producer, it's not a new thing that once you start to mix your stuff, you will actually find out that, hey, the sound design of this is not sufficient. Hey, I don't actually have the right idea about like priorities in my music. Like what is the real concept here? And that actually forced me to rethink a lot of my approach, which I think very beneficial.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you're working with the right engineer on a regular basis, they will help you anyway. They'll tell you what they have done to parts of your song to help you try and do it yourself next time and get closer to that result. You know, I think that's always it's always definitely worth looking at for me anyway. So moving forward, what do you think is the next step for you? What is going to help you move on to the next level of your music production and sort of where you want it to go?
I think in this music production part, I finally have some confidence about my abilities of trying to get things somewhat right, at least to the point where I can keep the ball rolling and making sure that I can actually release some stuff. The thing is, I'm very slow. I'm very far from being the most prolific, also because of the time amount I can actually spend on a daily level with music. That's a significant challenge for me. It always was, and it's... Yeah. So I have to pay a lot of attention on trying to focus on, okay, now this is the project. For the next 2 months, I'm going to direct my focus to this and this and this areas in my life. And just trying to find out those kind of seasons. That's a topic I'm going back to. Like, what are the things in this season that I'm trying to get right? Basically, for this season that I set to myself, it's ending with the end of October. In this season, I had the goal of releasing this Let the Wind Carry It Away song. I managed to complete it. So that's a sort of a success. And probably in the next season, I will just start to work on the next track. I have a draft which needs to be finished, needs to be polished up in order to release it. That's going to be another single of mine.
As regards people finding your music right now, they're going to find it on Spotify?
On Spotify for certain, but I'm using DistroKid as a distributor, distributing to mostly everywhere, and I'm also on Bandcamp.
Okay.
So I'm trying to pitch Bandcamp for people as much as possible and just figure out how things can go. I think ultimately that would be the loveliest thing. Yeah, ultimately just trying to find out what is the best distribution channel that I can utilize.
Yeah, difficult. And there's lots of people out there, lots of help out there, really. But, you know, do you pay somebody? Do you try and do it yourself? It's quite tricky. People have had success in different ways. And it's what do you call success, really? You know, I mean, getting even today's market, 1,000 plays on Spotify, 100,000 plays. It's good and it's great that put that many people, but Is it success in? It's certainly not success in financial terms, because there's no money to be made from it. You know, so I think probably Bandcamp is the best route to earning any money.
Indeed, I actually kind of lucky to have a person who actually bought my first track, so that's a more significant amount that I can expect from streaming anytime soon.
For sure.
But the thing is that I consider myself to be fortunate in the sense that I don't actually need to rely on any sort of an income. And I actually am happy to just burn some of my money in like making music, because that makes sense. I would much rather burn some money for building some connections through music.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Yeah.
Expecting money in return for that, I'm very, very far from that. And ultimately, I would probably need to do some really hard decisions and changes in my overall life in order to gather. And I'm not sure if I'm right person for that stuff. Yeah. So
I think I'm a big believer in having a network, building your network of people around you. That's what I've been doing over the last couple of years. You know, like everybody else in this, I mean, I'm a, I play guitar and I've done my own music in the past and all that, but I've ventured into this sort of thing over the last couple of years a bit more, and I've found if you just stick at it and you just keep picking away, you can build a network of useful contacts, and having people you can trust as well. You know, the people that I make contact with, some of it hasn't worked out, some of it does work out, and some of it's still working out now. And just having people around you who you genuinely think, you know, will give you a lift up or help you do this or put you onto someone. And that's quite difficult in this industry, I think, to try and find anybody trustworthy.
Well, I guess it's somewhat difficult, and I would be able to accept that anytime if someone suggests that, hey, this is fairly difficult. On the other hand, I found that it might be just luck, okay? So far I'm feeling like I'm on a good roll with those kind of things. Mm. Like for my first track, I wanted to record the piano. I never been to a studio, never recorded anything live. Mm. I've asked around in the private group of my school when I was taught about music production. Mm. In two telephone calls, the entire thing was built up for me, just because they were so adamant on trying to help people out who are trying to get their music together. Yeah, yeah. And it was a time of my life. It was absolutely spectacularly beautiful. And that was the surprising thing for me, that after many, many years of trying to think about that, hey, do I even have a chance to get this started in some sort of a way? Yeah. Once you are in, have some access to the right kind of people, and once you start to interact with them properly, suddenly a lot of doors are opening in no time.
Definitely, because beautiful. Sometimes I think what I found is you never quite know, even though somebody might seem quite insignificant, really, they may know a lot of other people, and like you say, it can seem like nothing, but suddenly you're on a different path, and you bounce off one person onto the next one, and you think, oh, okay, this is working, something's happening now.
Yeah, and you can't imagine what you are starting when you try to just become visible. Mm. That's something that I, in the last couple of weeks, I'm trying to have it as a sort of a mantra to make sure that I'm somehow more visible, because yeah. I learned it in quite a few years ago. It happened. I mentioned that I was blogging, and I was doing that when I was around like 19 or something. Mm. And I was very randomly blogging. So no structure, no professional blogging, no nothing, like really the most random thing you can imagine. And but still, just because I kept yapping about different sorts of technologies that I use as a software engineer, I actually later got in contacted from someone who actually offered me a job because of the blog post that I wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the first time when I was thinking that, hey, what the hell is happening here? I don't understand how this entire thing works, but it's lovely.
Yeah.
And that's still a thing.
Well, I think it's still a thing. You know, if people can sense a bit of enthusiasm, and, you know, if you're interested in something and enthusiastic about it, it can rub off on other people, and they see that and they want to be on board with it as well, you know. So you've got a new track up today, did you say, or a new YouTube video?
YouTube video was uploaded today, indeed. The track which I uploaded was released a couple of days ago.
Okay.
So that's the most recent thing. So currently I have those two tracks out.
Okay, cool.
And we will see how it's going to go from there.
Yeah. No, well, it's great. Listen, it's been good talking to you. I'll post anything that you've got. I'll post it all in the description of the video anyway. So I'll keep you posted on what's going on, and we'll stay in contact through wherever, social media, Threads, I guess, whatever. Good luck with all your music, and thanks for coming on and entertaining us.
Thank you very much.
Okay, buddy. You take care.
You too.
See you later.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.